Hello, and welcome to the Alloy Personal Training Business Podcast, a show for people who want to take their personal training businesses and fitness coaching skills to the next level. Team Alloy has been in the personal training business since 1992 and share their insights from working with businesses and brands around the world. Listen in for secrets and tips on running a successful fitness business, from personal training, marketing, staff management, scaling your business, and everything in between. If you are interested in having your own personal training business, our systems are well developed, and we are focusing on very discrete segments which we think are the secrets to success. Now, let's get started with our host.
Good morning, Matt.
Rick, how are you doing, buddy?
I am fantastic this week. You know why I'm so good this week?
I got a feeling.
Well, let's take a stab at it. Let's hear it. What do you think?
We reopened, baby.
We did.
Back at it.
Reopened on Monday. We actually could have opened on Friday, but we did not. We reopened on Monday. So, you know, here we are. It's Wednesday, by the way. I think this will be a week after this comes out next Wednesday. So you guys will be a little bit of a week delay. But Georgia's, as you know, the first state to open. Depending on which side of the fence that you stand on, you're either thinking we're crazy and everyone in the world is going to die, or that this should have happened, this should have never closed and we should have been open the whole time. And I think there's a huge chunk of people that are right down the middle that are looking at the same data set that maybe feel strongly one way or the other about different parts of that data set. But at the end of the day, you know, only history will tell whether we were too early or not. And I think we're, as an entrepreneur and as a business owner, we're just navigating things as best as possible, right? Like, we're making decisions based on what we have in front of us, and we're being as safe and everything as we possibly can. And that's really all that we can do. I can only speak to it through the lens of the owner and how excited I am for some normalcy, right?
Yeah, definitely feels normal. Like, got your life back a little bit, don't it?
Yeah, it really does. So whether it be revenue or whatever, you know, it just feels good as a business owner to be getting back to some level of normalcy. So, Again, it's a polarizing topic, man. It's a tough spot. We're going to talk through some of those issues today. But what we're going to talk about, you guys, today is essentially, because we're first to reopen, it's really early innings, you guys. We're 2 days in, but we're going to talk about things that we have noticed so far and things that we've maybe done well and not done well. And then we'll go from there. So I think everybody wants to know, like, I'm getting text messages and emails and different organizations that I'm on the board with and whatnot are reaching out for us to comment since we're first, you know, like, hey, how's it going? What are you doing? What's the general idea? What's the volume like? And so we're going to address a lot of those things today. In the coming weeks, we'll then again be a little bit ahead of the curve with everyone. And so we will certainly share any information or, you know, bright spots and things that we come up with along the way. So for today, it's like 2 days in. What have we learned? And Matt, you got some notes to kind of keep me on track so I don't just talk incessantly the whole time, which might happen anyway. But
yeah, that's okay.
I don't want to hear it. I think
that's why people tune in. I'll be
honest. Really? Just to hear us just bullshit for
sure
for 45 minutes? All right. So keep me on track, brother. What do we got?
Well, first, I mean, you know, we were the first to open Georgia. And if you don't live in Georgia, you maybe don't know that we were supposed to be quarantined for another week. And so we opened even earlier than we were originally planned. So that probably added some more craziness.
Yeah. Great point. So, and that might've come up later, but I probably would have forgotten. So I'm glad you brought that up. But the original quarantine or shelter in place was supposed to go until May 1st. Right. And then we were allowed to open about a week early, you know, actually exactly a week earlier than that. And there's phases, right? So we were in, surprisingly, I thought it was surprising that gyms were in phase one. I was pleasantly surprised, but still surprised that a place that could necessarily, because they didn't say what type of gym or these gyms and not those gyms, you know, we haven't been just recategorized. Just gyms open, right?
Bowling alleys.
Gyms and bowling alleys. I'm like, yeah, because I know that this whole time, what I've really been thinking is, you know, I'd really like to bowl. I'd like to bowl a game.
If you only touch your own balls.
Well, think about it. Hold on. Like, all right, I'm going to let that go. That's too easy. That's like putting it on a tee. But yeah, think about it. You're stuffing your hands into a ball that, like, there's no way they're like cleaning out the finger holes of those balls. let's, let's, Let's not talk about bowling. I can't do it. I just can't do it. You just have to know what our off-air conversations look like to understand how ridiculous this is and how slap happy we can be sometimes.
All right.
All right. So point number one, moving right along.
All right. So we're going to kind of break this down into three different topics. So we're going to talk about the facility, coaches, and then the clients. So first one, facility as an owner, what did you do before we opened? And then what are we doing ongoing?
Yes. So this great question. And I think right now, you guys, the currency is trust, safety, right? Familiarity, whatever those things are that fit into that category. Those are the things that are valuable right now that we need to be taking to market, mm-hmm. you know, as marketing messages, like legit. So first thing we did was we had a company come out. They're locally based and they did a treatment on our facility. For lack of better terms, it was a fogging, if you will. And it was in the air ducts and all over the equipment. And I posted that video and the science behind it on our pages, right? Yep. So again, if that's right now the thing that we want to promote is cleanliness and that you can come here and that we're taking every precaution necessary, then start with that and make it public, right? Do a down and dirty walkthrough video of your facility just saying, hey, you know, I'm Rick and I'm the original owner here since 1992. And I opened this business to make my community healthier, you know, and this is part of that. So here's the precautions that we're taking and walk them right through the littlest things, right? So when you come in, and these are some things that we've done, you know, we're propping the front door open. So right now it's a beautiful day. So we've got it wide open. If it was raining, we would have it closed a bit, but you could theoretically stick your foot in the door and open it, right? So great. That would be something that would be a good idea to promote that you mm-hmm. don't have to touch the door handles in here, right? Yep. Another idea would be, and we've considered this, we just haven't had a chance to implement it, are the door openers where you can use your forearm, or they've got ones where you can use your foot. So you're not actually touching the doors. Remember, I mean, as people are listening to this, they're probably thinking, oh, well, it doesn't matter. You can spread this through respiratory means. It's like, well, of course. But remember, we're trying to build consumer confidence, right? Mm-hmm. And the more things that you can put on display that you are doing, it just makes you look more conscientious, right? Yep. I think it also starts with just having your facility like clinically clean, even visually. So if you opened now, like we did, you know, one of the things we needed to do was we had stacked up some boxes and things because we weren't open. So we were just kind of setting things around. Well, all that needs to be clean because, as you know, Matt, perception is reality. Mm-hmm. So if I walk into your gym and I see a stack of UPS boxes behind the desk or some dirty towels or whatever, it doesn't matter what you tell me and what kind of fogging you've done and that you're wiping down the equipment and all these things. My knee-jerk perception is going to be that the place is dirty. I was talking to a friend of mine that owns a gym here in Atlanta as well. And we had a really windy day. I don't know if you remember that last week, some really high winds and a lot of leaves had blown into the front of his facility. And he came in like midday and he was upset with whoever was working there because they hadn't removed the leaves, but yet they were in there wiping down all the equipment. Right. And so they were doing everything they needed to do right. to keep the gym safe and clean. But the perception, if you walked in, would be that they haven't cleaned in weeks because there was leaves everywhere. So he's like, come on, man, this is like a common sense thing, right? So I would say for you guys, same thing. Like, think about that. Like, is the front desk messy? Or now's your chance to make it look perceptually really clean, mm-hmm. right? And not to dupe people, it should be clean. But just keep in mind, if it's really, really clean, but messy or disorganized, it's going to give the impression that it's not clean.
Right.
Organize your blaze. We did the commercial fogging, and the science behind it is it lasts for 3 months or what? I'm not sure. I posted it for all of our clients to read it on their own. Mm-hmm. And we took video and snapshots of them while they were fogging. And then we posted to both our private page and our public page just to say like, hey, here's what we're working on. Right. Mm-hmm. Again, same thing. If you have locker rooms that aren't necessarily just a one room, right. You could also prop the door open for those, right. So that people could use elbows or forearms to get right, in and out right. of those doors. So think about all those little things, right. Some of the other things that we've done, and this goes more to the programming, is because we're not team training, which is 25 people getting sweaty in a room, we're able to create social distancing much easier than other brands. And we've mm-hmm. talked about this already
yep.
about that. We're again, it makes us look really smart. It was obviously no one could foresee a virus except for me, which I knew this was coming. So this is why we pivoted to small group training.
It's full of crap.
I knew it, man. I had a vision that some guy was going to either eat a bat or that a bat was going to get out of a lab, or I don't even know. I just knew. And so we pivoted to small group training so that we'd be ready for this. So anyway, put that on record. So having small group training allows us to create this social distancing, right? So it's much easier for us to control it because, and one of the things that we're doing with that social distancing, keeping people 6 feet apart, is we're allowing we're having the entire workout go down in their own space, right? So it is hamstringing our ability to program a little bit, meaning we're not running circuits or whatever. We're just working out in your own spot. So if you think about the technical guys that are listening to this, kettlebell complexes or, you know, circuits where they're just staying in place and it's all sets and reps and things like that. So it still feels like personal training. It's just the tools are limited and we're keeping them in their own spot, which just makes people feel more confident, right? So if you're running a circuit style boot camp, you might want to go back and listen to our last podcast on how to transition to small group, because it's really difficult to coach that type of group, you know, without getting people too close together. I mean,
if you're running circuit style now, or that's what you were doing, it's not hard if you're changing out tools to take that same circuit and you're in your own space.
Yeah. And so just credit to Matt for anyone listening that is an Alloy licensee. He has created like 6 weeks worth of programs for group training, for team training, essentially, where it's to stay in your own space, right? Mm-hmm. So it does limit your choices a little bit, but it's the right move to do. So when you're looking at your facility, clean the heck out of it, fog it, you know, have hand sanitizer available, remind people to wash their hands. You know, we sent out a here's our expectations on the client's message as well. So here's what we expect you to do, because we do want people to own it a little bit as well, right? Sure. Like wash your hands before you exercise. When you get here, wash your hands before you leave, right? Don't touch your face if possible. We're going to keep you in your own space. Because we're personal training and we're a bit smaller, we're wiping down each piece of equipment that they've touched, right? Mm-hmm. But I think if you were a larger gym, you would put that onus on the clients and follow them around, make sure it's being done. And then just have somebody on staff always walking the floor, just wiping down handles or whatnot.
Right, absolutely. Yep. I mean, if you're a bigger gym or you got a lot of equipment, definitely would be a good time to clear some of that out and open up your space so you can do this.
Yeah, I have a lot of buddies that own big gyms, and they have been able to, just through creative spacing and a little bit of geometry, have been able to keep the almost the full till volume of equipment, right? But spread it apart so that they do have 6 feet in between. I've seen some things that were a little bit over the top that I thought were funny. Like I saw one where someone is putting these sort of plastic dividers between each treadmill. So you're kind of in your own little like cubby. Exactly. And then there was also cubbies for each station, right? For the training. And the person was wearing one of those, it looks like a welding mask, but it was clear. Yeah. It was like two people were doing a dumbbell bench press, and the benches were separated by this like clear divider thing. And each person was wearing like a sneeze guard kind of. It didn't make a lot of sense because it wouldn't necessarily protect you from inhaling virus. It would just, like, I guess if you just blew a huge sneeze, it would keep it from traveling 30 feet across the room. But I don't know, man. I think you're going to see a lot of wacky things happen when people reopen, and only time will tell which ones are most effective. But I think right now what we have is three segments of the population that we've talked about before. You know, one segment is like social signaling, saying if you open now, everyone's going to die and you're a terrible person. It's like, oh, okay, maybe not that, right? Others are protesting, saying we should never close this. This is crazy. Mm-hmm. Okay, probably not that. It's probably something in between. And so there's a huge chunk of people, which is most people. They're just not the biggest mouthpieces on social media, by the way, because they don't feel that strongly about it. They're just kind of going with the flow.
Yeah.
That are right down the middle. And for them, they're going to try to make a rational decision based on the data set that we all have access to. And so the more that you can show them that you're taking efforts to be safe, the more people you're going to persuade to that, you know, or convince that you are a good option for them to come to the gym. So do everything you can do in your facility, right? Within reason.
Yep.
You know, somebody asked me, are you requiring people to wear a mask? And the answer is no. Now, we did say wear whatever you want. A cat suit, hazmat suit, mask, you know, football helmet, like wear what you need to wear to make yourself feel safe. And that's what we're going with. But we're not requiring masks.
I don't think we've even seen a mask in here. Have
I haven't seen one.
From a coach or a client.
I haven't seen one yet. And it's just really, really hard to breathe and exercise through a mask. Right. The same guy that I mentioned that's a buddy of mine that owns the gym, he had a small sign on his front door that said, mandatory, everyone must wear a mask. Well, I didn't see it because it was so small and I just blew right in. Neither did anyone else. Like, he was wearing it and his staff were wearing masks. And I was like, oh, you guys are wearing masks? He's like, yeah, the clients are supposed to. I have a mandatory mask sign. And I looked over his shoulder and looked out across the floor, and there was maybe 8 people in there total in a big gym. Nobody was wearing masks. I'm like, apparently no one's getting the signal. He's like, yeah, I don't even know why I said mandatory, because I'm not really enforcing it.
Right.
And I was like, yeah. So for us, we're just letting people do what makes them most comfortable. And we're not requiring that our coaches wear masks. And that, again, are we right? Are we wrong? I don't know. That's on you, man. That this is a time when you have to take responsibility for your own decisions and live with the consequences, whatever those are. So I can't tell you guys how to feel or how to think or how to interpret your data, but that's just what we're doing.
Yeah.
And so far the overall feedback has been good. I mean, people aren't overly cavalier. I mean, they are self-conscious, right? It is a small group of people, and having a smaller group of people. So if you're a big gym and you're like, well, I can only open with 10 people at a time, well, open with your personal training clients, because A, they're the highest paying, and B, you can control them, right? And they seem to be the most trusting because they have the best human connections.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about this before, like our clients saying, you know, I heard one of our clients say, well, I would never go to one of those big gyms and work out with a bunch of people that I don't even know.
Right.
And it's like, it's kind of an odd statement if you think about it, like rationally.
You don't really know.
Right. I know the names of the people that I'm in here with because we have a smaller environment, but I don't know that they aren't carrying or don't, you know, I mean, it's like, you don't know, really know, right. Certainly as it pertains to how a virus spreads, what's going on with those folks. But again, public perception is that because I know these people, they're taking all the precautions and they are intelligent. They're like me. So they think like me because they're in here and I know them. Right. And so that really does help to have that small, you know, that small group and tight knit community. Right. It really does help. So as far as your facility is concerned, you guys, I would say just do any and everything you can cleanliness wise, make it really public that you're doing it. Shoot some videos and still shots and use your own sort of personality around it. If you use humor, do that. I mean, obviously it's a serious situation, so you don't want to be too flippant about it, but make it really public, right? Show people what you're doing. Tell them you're a family-owned business. Tell them you have small numbers. You know, we're going out and saying, hey, we only do personal training. You're not crammed in here with 20 people. So it seems to be working so far. People want to know, like, you know, where are we with, you know, as far as like overall clientele. And we opened Monday with a 50% saturation rate, which is really good. I mean, our metric, just to give everybody an idea, is 80%. So if you had all the hours available, because we're selling time slots, if you will, all the hours available in the gym, and we were booked 80% of the time, that would be a really good, that's a good metric for us. And that's what we look at. So to be at 50% the first day was really good. Now that's a Monday. It's typically a busier day. Tuesday we were down. Today's okay. Thursday will be a little slower. Friday will be bigger. It's just sort of the natural flow of the way that our clients visit the gym between the 2 and 3 times a week visitors. But so far, so good. So I was highly encouraged by that. And the people that were here, the ones that did choose to come in, were really thankful that we were here. They were feeling the same way that a lot of us were, which is like, man, I want some normalcy. You know, I've got my third place back, right? Maybe this is only my second place now because I've been at home. I'm not going to work, so I'm telecommuting or whatever that is. But now I have another place I can go and talk to other human beings that...
Hell yeah, man. People want to get out.
They do. And, you know, the first day here, Friday, which was the day it was lifted, just to give you guys a heads up too with what it looked like, it was the first day in a while that I've noticed that there was like a heavy traffic flow, right? I was out Friday morning and I was like, man, there are so many people on the road today. I'm like, oh yeah, today's the first sort of lifting of the restrictions, if you will, first step. Well, I got out today and it was like, you know, it wasn't rush hour traffic, but there was a heck of a lot more people out.
It's getting worse.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the one thing. It's going to get back to bad traffic. But overall, you know, as far as the facility is concerned, just be very public with all the things you're doing and try to do any and all little things that you can do and shoot a down and dirty video and use it for marketing right now.
Yep. Cool. All right. Next one. Coaches, if you could, might be good to talk about kind of during COVID when we were closed and then kind of go into reopening and now.
Yeah. So as you know, Matt, I'm all about like sticking it out and trying to hang in there as long as we can. And that's just the entrepreneurial mindset. Right. So when we closed, we actually closed a couple of days, I think just by choice before we were officially shut down.
Yeah. Right.
But that was just by chance. And we did that because the coaches were just uncomfortable. There was no other way to put it. Right. And so it was just like, all right, who's uncomfortable? And everyone's like, I don't really know. And that was when the sentiment was like, man, things were really picking up, right? You know, other states were rolling one after the other, just complete shutdown, shelter in place, shelter in place, shelter in place. And our guys were just like, oh no, you know, when's this going to happen? And so we still had a decent client load, probably about like we have now, right? I think we're going to roll out the way we rolled in, if that makes sense, volume wise. So we closed because of that. And so, okay, great. Well, let's close down. Now, thankfully, our business is really healthy, so we had the ability, we applied for all the government loans as well, but obviously don't get them, you know, straight away. And so we had the ability to carry our team at full pay while we're essentially closed down, which I know a lot of businesses weren't able to do that. A lot of people furloughed people, which is sort of like, you know, firing them, but not like they can come back. And if you furloughed them during this COVID crisis, they were eligible for a pretty good federal, you know, supplement to their unemployment income, which is interesting, you know, to speak to that for a second. There are people I know in the industry that have, their staff or their team is now, some of them are making more money not working, you know, than they were working. And so some of these folks got their PPP payroll relief loan and were like, all right, guys, let's get back on it. You know, like I can pay you guys now. And some of their team members were like, nah, forget that, man. I'm making more on unemployment. Like, I don't want to come back to work. And so I think what was intended to be a really good thing is it just brought up some interesting points, right? So when we closed paying everyone at full tilt, most of our folks or all of our folks are making more than they would if they were unemployed.
Sure.
Even if they were getting the federal, you know, supplement. So we took everyone to virtual. So I'm like, listen, I'm happy to do this, but we need to preserve as much revenue as we can. So let's move to virtual. So we created different buckets for each coach and we dropped all the clients that they might see typically in their bucket and then split up the rest that might bounce around between coaches and built a more robust playbook. You know, Matt, you're our app specialist. So you really dug in with the coaches and showed them how to do all the things on the app. And we were off and running. And so we did preserve a pretty good, we lost about 20% of our clientele overall and our revenue, right? And so, you know, we were doing pretty well, I would say. Now we also, we lost more than 20% of our revenue because even though we churned out some clientele who just went straight on freeze, right?
Yeah.
And listen, a lot of people ask like what, you know, why is that happening? It's like, well, sometimes, you know, exercise is hard for people as it is. Right. And so it doesn't take much of an excuse for some people to just not want to work out. Right. And so I can't say that all of our clients churned out because, you know, of COVID. Some like used it as an excuse. I hate to use that word, but used it as an excuse to not exercise.
I mean, it's, they may not have fully understand what we were going to do for them. They never gave us the opportunity to show them probably.
Yeah.
So some of that.
Yeah. So to a person, when our clients did recognize that we had this kick-ass tool that we just typically weren't using because they're coming in the gym all the time, we're like, holy smokes, I didn't know you guys had all this. You know, this is amazing. So back to coaches. So they were coaching virtually. Well, we were set to reopen May 1st. Well, again, about, it was like a Thursday, I think, a Wednesday or a Thursday, you know, the governor of our state jumps on and we're first, you know, and took a lot of heat for this, but he basically said, hey, we're reopening phase one on Friday. And it was like 2 days from then. And I was like, well, we can't be ready Friday. Plus we had that industrial fogging coming in over the weekend. So I wanted to get that done before we open just for safety reasons and to be able to promote that we're doing everything we can, like we talked about. And so I was like, yeah, game on. I was super pumped. Right. So I jumped on the page and said, okay, everybody, you know, we're set to open. We're not going to open Friday, but we're going to open Monday. Now, mind you, we have two facilities. So one of our facilities did open on Friday and it was a, like a reduced schedule on purpose. Right.
Yeah.
But it was full. Like the reduced schedule was pretty much full every hour and everything went great. I think one or two people wore masks, same thing. So that was a good sort of a little peek into under the covers as to what we were going to see right on Monday. So I lob it out there and we use Slack as a communication channel. And I think as an owner, I was probably blind to the fact that my excitement wasn't shared by everyone on the team. And part of that was just general concern, right? And so because everyone is, if you're listening to the news, right, depending on if you're leaning right or leaning left or politically charged or not, it doesn't matter. You, there is so much information, conflicting information out there right now. I would just highly encourage everyone to pick one source and just stick with it, you know, whatever that is, and also filter that and understand that some of the things that are out there these days by the media, it's clickbait. You know, you get paid by how many clicks you get. So you got to pump an article out there saying, you know, this many people died from COVID. And then you turn out when you read it, it's like, well, they had a heart attack, but they also turned out to have COVID later. So I'm not saying downplaying it, but at the same time, there's just a lot of data and how you decipher that data.
Misinformation out there.
Yeah. Or real information, but you might interpret differently because you feel differently about it. Right. And so lo and behold, we had a good percentage of our team that was super nervous about coming back. And I could tell by some of the feedback, right? Some of the posts were like, what do you think about this story? What do you think about that story? And it was like, you know, CNN things or Fox News things and just kind of all over the board. And I was like, whoa, you know, I just something as an owner that maybe naively, I didn't anticipate our team being that nervous. I thought they would be as excited as me to get back at it. Right. And so plus, cause I had been carrying everyone at full pay. So I was kind of like, oh great. I've been helping you guys out. Now it's our opportunity to get our revenue back up so that we can continue to pay everyone mm-hmm. full on. And to expect them to understand that was a mistake. Like, looking back on it, I should have explained that better and said, here's our runway, right? If we don't get this payroll protection plan, we are going to need to get back to normal business. This is our opportunity to do so, which means, in essence, what I'm saying is, this is my opportunity to continue to pay you, but I need you guys to help me by being in the gym, right? In the message, I just didn't do a great job with it. It came across as maybe like, come to work now or don't get paid, right? And it wasn't like, hey, risk your own safety. I could furlough people as well and they could get payroll protection. And it's not a massive, it's a pretty good program. It really is, right? So I just didn't do a great job of messaging it. But I would just say to any owners listening, anticipate more hesitation from your team than you're going to have, because you're going to be super excited, but you're going to see that, you know, there's some folks on your team that are human beings just like everyone else. And so they're going to have the same hesitations as your clients and anyone else. And you're going to have to give them some grace and have some really serious conversations about why you should get back to work. You're going to have to let them participate in what safety measures they feel like they need to take, right? Maybe it's a personal decision for them. Want to wear a mask? Wear a mask, right? That type of thing.
I mean, looking back, I mean, you started with a message to everybody. You think you should have just contacted them individually right away, or?
Well, and what happened, it happened fast. And that was one of the challenges. So it happened after our team meeting. We were still meeting once a week, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of these conversations would have been better had face-to-face, or perhaps we should have even done a Zoom call. But again, my mistake was in presuming that everyone would be as excited as I was to get back to work and get back to some normalcy, when in fact, people did have concerns. And when you're communicating through, you know, we use Slack, when you're communicating through a texting app,
right,
a lot of translation is lost, as you know. I mean, hell, we just did a podcast about 80% of, you know, communication is unspoken, it's body language. So like, how the hell do you expect to understand the mood of something or the tone or something, you know, if it's sent over a texting message? So it probably looked like I was coming in too harsh. It probably, in everyone's defense, looked like everyone else was too defensive or didn't want to come to work.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably was somewhere in the middle, right? It wasn't any of that. So I ended up reaching out to the individuals and we got a pretty good solve for it, you know. But I'm just, again, as a, you know, window to the future for those of you guys that are going to open, you may have staff that don't want to come back because they're actually making more now. And you're going to think, well, why doesn't someone want to come to work? It's like, well, because they have 6 months to make more than you're paying them while they figure it out. And maybe they go somewhere else and get a job. Maybe they didn't want to work there anyway. There's a lot of things that are going to come up here that aren't even COVID related. And that even happened on our team, right? Some of the things that came up weren't necessarily related to the crisis. It was just like, well, I don't know what's next for me. You know, there was a lot of things like that that popped up. And it was like, oh, well, apparently, and duh, right? Anytime there's a crisis or a shaking up of the norm of the schedule, those things are going to come to the forefront.
Right.
So just as an owner, as an entrepreneur, prepare for that and don't be surprised if your whole team isn't doing cartwheels when you announce it's time to open up, right?
Well, and you know, everybody's different for sure.
Yep.
What you don't want to do is force them to come in, because all that will do is send a bad message to your clients. They'll feel it. They can tell when they don't want to be in, and that'll really mess things up for you.
Well, yeah. I mean, you really, it's just a wrong thing to do, right?
So sure.
I think for us, the message, and just to, again, give you guys more insight so you'll know maybe where our mistakes came from, was me saying, okay, well, we've run out of runway. We haven't secured the payroll protection plan. So if you're not servicing revenue, I can no longer pay you. And that came across as like, well, you got to come to work now or you don't get paid. But, and honestly, that was the message. I mean, there's no other way to put that, right? Mm-hmm. You either come in service revenue or you don't get paid. Like, this is our runway of carriage as long as I can. We're open now. If you're too nervous, I get it. I'll furlough you. Go, you'll get a decent amount of money on the backside, but I can't have you here because like, I'm not going to force you to come in, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you are here, you're not going to be that excited anyway. Right.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, that was just, again, lesson learned from me, poor leadership, but that's kind of, I mean, it's unprecedented times. So
it's never happened, right?
Yeah, exactly. Just something to look at for you guys.
Yeah. Any ongoing messaging for the coaches or?
Just keeping them in the loop. You know, I think after that little bit of a snag in communication shook out, you know, just checking in with everybody, asking how they're doing, you know, how are we? I think I've noticed, from our coaches, you know, everyone's okay. Like, the clients come in, we executed, we kept people separate. They felt safe. The numbers have been low enough so we could really spread out. And I'm like, how you doing? Everyone's like, good. Yeah, they're fine. So I haven't heard any negative feedback. And so I think overall the coaches are probably a little bit relieved to get out and about as well, as long as we can stay within the guidelines of what is considered safe and makes them feel comfortable.
Maybe a little initial nervousness from what I saw, but everybody's good. Yeah. Payroll.
Yeah. It's only take a few days. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, oh, back to normal. So it's been good. So for, we have about, I don't know, 60, 70 people that are still doing virtual training. Everybody else is planning on coming back. Again, the state reopens on May 1st. And so a lot of our clients said, hey, not this week. It seems a bit early.
Right.
Just based on the expectation that it was going to be another week anyway. And so we'll probably see a big bump next week. And again, we can report back in as we go. But yeah, that's something to look for with your coaches and just try to give them some grace. And also just be very direct and explain exactly the realities of the financial situations and what that's going to look like. That would be my suggestion based on what happened here.
Okay, cool. All right, last one. We've touched on it quite a bit already, but just clients. I mean, during this, before we opened, now, what are we doing?
Yeah, I think, again, people fall into three categories, like straight panic and fear,
right?
And maybe rightly so if they're at risk. You know, cavalier, this is nothing. You know, why aren't we still open? And then down the middle, which is people that are probably on the fence and they might have a few things that they're more concerned about, mm-hmm. you know, and a few things that they're not. And so I think for us, that's exactly what we've seen. Right. And we heard a lot from the people while we were open, maybe longer than some people thought. We heard from the naysayers, they're the ones that thought we shouldn't be open and the ones that were more concerned. And, you know, they looked at the data differently and they thought we were being irresponsible. Right. We were also hearing from the ones that were really happy that we were still open because they wanted to be here and they thought the virus was bullshit and they were going to catch it anyway. It's like, okay. So those are the two. What we didn't hear from was the people sort of in the middle, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest chunk, right? Again, the biggest, the loudest folks are the ones that are the most convicted and have the strongest opinions on either end of this thing, right? Those are the ones that are posting on social media and whatnot. Right in the middle is a huge chunk of people that is just sort of like, well, I'm not really sure. Like it's a wait and see, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so as we were rolling in, obviously our volume was going down because the fear and the numbers were going up and the news, and it was just like, you just can't get away from it, right? And so everything was just, it was just more intense around concerns with the virus. So we were sort of seeing our volume go down. More people were jumping into that side of the camp. And then it's the same thing rolling back out, right? So the client interaction while we were closed was great. I mean, we have so many, if you follow any of our stuff on social media, so many posts and, you know, gratefulness posts and
right.
successes on what we're doing with virtual. And I mean, they really were appreciative of the tools that we had that they weren't aware of and how mm-hmm. we could continue to service them. And that made us feel awesome. I think all the coaches enjoyed what we were doing and we felt like we were still servicing our community. And then, you know, as we roll back out, it's sort of the inverse of what we saw when we rolled in, right? Is like the people that were here last are back in the gym, like about time. Hell yeah. Three times a week, you know? And there's others that are like, no, not yet. And some that were really nervous that are like, hey, I'm at high risk. I'm not coming in for another 4 months to see how things shake out. Now, I think that will change depending on what happens. And nobody knows.
Yep.
We could see another spike and then the fear goes back up, right? We could see this thing sort of like, you know, the tipping point's been reached, or maybe the antibody test comes out and we find out that a lot more people have had it than we thought. And so the percentage of death rate goes so low that it doesn't change the fear for certainly for the ones that were affected,
mm-hmm.
but it gives you a more realistic data set to look at and say, okay, the percentage is even much smaller than I thought it was. I'm relatively healthy. Exercise boosts my immune system.
Right.
I'm going to dive back in. So I think it won't take as long for some of the ones that are particularly nervous about coming back, as long as things move in that direction, right? And we don't have a setback of some sort with a, you know, again, another spike in the virus or something. And we don't know.
I mean,
we're just trying to make the best decisions that we can. And so that's where we are now. And the clients that have come back were just like so happy to be
right.
here. You know, it was like we weren't hugging or whatnot. Obviously, we're practicing social
distancing.
Some
people were. They're trying to hug you. They were so happy to be here.
I know. Literally, people are like waving at me. And most people here don't even know me, right? Because I'm, you know, our corporate office, by the way, you guys, is attached to the gym. And we've got glass doors in between. And so, you know, I have people waving, two-handed waving, you know, like from across the gym because they're so happy to be here, right? So I think for the ones that want to come out, they are so thankful that we're open and that we're taking the precautions that we are. Next week, we've already had a lot of people committed to come back because that was the expectation.
Yep.
And then the other ones that are saying, hey, wait and see, right? We'll see them roll back in as long as things go the way that we expect them to. So I think the general client sentiment, you guys, is exactly what you see in the general public. It's just a smaller representation of what you see overall. Again, everyone's dying, right? You're social signaling, you're tattling on your neighbors. If you saw them walking together, you know, there's that side of it. There's the, you know.
They're definitely not the loud voices, you know.
right.
Screaming from the high rise.
Yeah, exactly.
You're
going
to die.
Everyone's going to die. Yeah. You're so irresponsible. It's like, you know, I hope I'm not on that side of history as it rolls out, but you know, if that's the way you believe and you own a gym and that's how you feel, don't open. That's right. All I can say. Like at some point, where's the personal responsibility, right? Maybe this is what we wrap up. Like, listen, at the end of the day, it's your business. It's your decision. We've got folks in the Alloy family that are just saying, hey, I'm not opening until mid-June because I just think that's the right thing to do.
That's okay.
I don't even disagree with you. That's not my decision. But just like I don't do and don't, no one appreciates in politics and religion, you can feel however you want to feel. You really are. And the great thing about our country is that you can respect the way that other people feel. That's kind of what makes it what it is, right? The freedom to feel and say and do the things that you want.
Mm-hmm.
When you get into trouble is when you then are, you know, critical, publicly critical, overly so, of someone who doesn't share your opinion. So you just have to understand, you guys, that if you don't want to open, don't open. And there are going to be people that love you for it. And those are the ones you're going to like to hear from. And they're going to be people that hate you for it because they want to come in there. And they'll people that hate you for it. You know, and I think that's just a decision. This is a tough time to be a leader. You got to make really hard decisions. They affect a lot of people. And you got to live with those consequences. So you have to do whatever's right by you. So I can't tell you to open right up or not. I mean, that's crazy for me to even assume that I could, you know, that I would be able to know where you're at mentally, what your crowd's like, what your clients are thinking. You got to take all that into account, make the best decision for your business. And then you're going to have to live with it. One thing that I will say as an entrepreneur, and one thing that, you know, I was thinking about, safety first for our people, our team, and our clients. After that, I'm thinking, well, if you choose not to open, right? So just let's just eliminate what's going on, life or death, right? And just say, okay, let's just say this is caused by something that's not life or death. It's a Wall Street issue, right? Or a market crash or whatever's happening. And so you decide that for whatever reason, you're going to delay your opening. And none of the other gyms in your area delay their opening, right? You're going to run the risk, right or wrong, like again, you're going to run the risk of losing a good deal of your clientele to your competitors.
Yep.
Because for that chunk of people that are ready to get out of the house and they feel safe, they are going to go to someone else's gym. They're not going to wait for you to open. And they might not all agree with your ideas on whether or not you should be open, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've heard of people leaving a brand because they didn't agree with the fact that they were still open. So that can happen too. I can't support you in the fact that you're staying open. I'm not paying you anymore. So be it. It's a real shame that we've brought almost a political and religious type of reaction to now business, right? It's like now we're forced to do it with our teams, with our clients. It's like a weird dynamic. So I think at the end of the day, it's a real hard time as a leader to make a decision, but you just got to make that decision and you have to live with it. And you have to understand that no matter which way you go, you're going to be hurt. I will say as an entrepreneur, I don't want to sit still while traffic is blowing by me. That gives me anxiety. And so if I feel like I can do it safely enough, I'm probably going to lean in that direction just because at the end of the day, if I don't have a business, I can't help people be healthy in my community. You know, the 200-300 people in my gym, in my small studios, you know, I can't help them be healthy if I don't even have a facility to do that in.
Right.
So again, if you feel like being safe outweighs that and you really have concerns, then don't open. But keep in mind, there are consequences to not opening or opening either way around, right? Public perception. So yeah, I did a lot of talking about, about not much, but I hope that helps you guys. Again, we're only 2 days in and at least, you know, for the first segment of our next few podcasts, they come out every Wednesday, we will address how things are looking, like are things picking up? Because we're going to be a couple of weeks, if not a month ahead of some of you guys. So we promise to share as we go.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add?
No, let's go bowling.
Let's do it. We're going bowling and sticking our fingers in some balls. Peace out.
See ya.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Alloy Personal Training Business Podcast. If you have any questions for the host or are interested in learning more about running a successful personal training business of your own, please reach out and say hello. Connect with us at www.alloypersonaltraining.com and sign up for our free newsletter to receive additional resources.